This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the September 28th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. This is a two-way conversation, and it's all about your money, anything financial. So I hope to hear from you during the hour. As you know, we're always live 4 to 5 Pacific Time, Monday through Friday. And I want to thank those that I met yesterday when I was in San Jose. And I was doing, talking to people, looking at their portfolios. And it is always kind of fun to meet different people. So usually I enjoy that part of what I do very much. And so, I thank everybody for coming. Today I'm tired and maybe... Okay, if you're retired or you are retired and maybe you have a big 401k, but should you be in the stock market? Are stocks too risky for retirees? And that's going to be our main talking point. And you'd be surprised at my answer because I think in many times it is and many times it isn't. I mean, there's no one answer. We'll talk about it in depth here when time comes. First, let's go ahead and take the calls. So we try to answer your questions live during the hour, 4 to 5. You can always leave your questions. You can always leave them on our 24-hour listen line at 888-99-CHART.
I wanted to ask Steve Peasley about his current position on gold, like gold bullion and or gold coins. In the past, I've heard Steve go from recommending never going into gold to 2 weeks later talking about the advantages of going into gold. This was years ago, so I was kind of curious or what the current Steve Peasley feeling is about investing in gold. My name is Frank in San Jose. Okay, thank you.
I'm not a gold person. I don't particularly care for gold long term, and I still don't. And yet, I do have gold mining positions in my clients' accounts. Because I will go anywhere where I think there's an opportunity. But I think long-term, I don't think gold is that great of an investment. But there are times in economic situations and for maybe trying to be hedging against the market, you want to use something that will not fall or even go up with the market. It'd be anti-market. And gold can do that, especially if the dollar's weak. And you'll notice our dollar's been weak most of the year. But I'm not a big gold person long term. I just don't think so. But I will use it as an opportunity when I think it's time for us to do that. I will invest anything. I don't like airlines either. I don't like car companies either. There's certain sectors that I don't care for. Doesn't mean I will never invest in them, but I generally don't hold them. It's not my favorite sectors to be in, and for specific reasons. For instance, on gold, I mean, gold as a long-term investment, it should be selling just to stay up with inflation in 1984 high. The 1984 high in gold, which is like $800 or so, it would have to be at $2,400 today, and it's not. It's half that. So all that time, gold didn't go up. You see, long-term investment, not my thing. Let's go to Will in San Diego. How you doing, Will?
Oh, pretty good, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Good. Well, I'm looking at, I own BIIB.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if I should hang on to it or sell it before the earnings come out in the latter part of October.
I see.
It's run up quite a bit.
Yeah, I see that. This is Biogen, Inc., everybody. It is a $65 billion company. Develops treatments for neurodegenerative, autoimmune, and metabolic disorders. Boy,
it's a mouthful.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor. You know what But it is a biotech company, one of the bigger, better ones. Amgen is another one, and this is one of them. There's not that many of them that are big, blue-chippy kind of stocks. It is growing decently. Remember, it's a $65 billion company, so it's hard to grow that size of company. Last quarter, it grew its sales by 6%. So it's done very well because that's picking up from, you know, 3% the quarter before that, 1%. But it's always growing. Might not be great growth. And I noticed insiders were buying at the recent lows, which is kind of interesting. That was around 250, 255. Insiders were buying it.
Uh-huh.
And now here it is at 310. It got up to 330, everybody. And now it's at 310. I would hold, you know what, I would hold on to it long, Will, as long as it stays above 300. If it falls below 300, I'm gone. That's what I would do.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay, yeah.
It's not that expensive, really. I mean, 4P is like 13, and the range is 11 to 36. So it's still pretty reasonable price. Okay?
Okay, so hang on to it.
Unless it breaks down.
Cutoff point, though.
Yeah, have a cutoff point, and I think it's about $300.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks okay. a lot, Steve.
Thank you. On a chart, it's showing that there's going to be a lot of support right around $300. So I think that it won't go below that. We get questions from time to time about bond funds. Many bond funds pay an attractive dividend and are, you know, a yield. Bond pays a yield, not a dividend. Stocks pay dividends, bonds pay a yield. But many bond funds pay an attractive yield and are showing strength on a chart with prices rising, especially if it's a long-term chart over many years. However, it's important to be cautious with these bond funds. Understand why has it done well long-term. Because interest rates have fallen long-term. But now the Fed is on the other side of that equation. They're starting to raise it. Now, there are many risks associated with bonds and bond funds. You've got to understand the risk. What kind of risk does a bond have? Well, it could be a credit risk, a country risk, a liquidity risk, market risk, rate interest rate risk. There's different risks that you got to consider for before you buy them. However, you know, they are not tied necessarily to stock prices. Therefore, they're a good diversifier away from the stock market. And remember that it's an inverse relationship to interest rates, right? If the bond value goes up, that means interest rates are falling. If the bond value goes down, that means interest rates are rising. So you got to understand what the risk. You know, junk bond, or they don't call them junk very often anymore, I guess because it sounds bad. They call them high yield. Like that's, oh, look how great that is. It's a high yield bond. No, that's junk. That's a junk bond. That's a junk bond. That's where they, you know, now they call them, you never hear them use that word. It's always high yield. High yield means high risk, everybody. Just think of that. High yield, high risk. So be very careful. Be very careful when you move into bonds and the types of bonds you're buying. Don't fall in love with the yield. That's the worst thing you can do. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. When you're measuring your capacity for investment risk, the number of consideration, the number consideration can be the more important of the goal. The less risk should be taken with money earmarked for that goal, like paying the rent or making a down payment on a house. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Check in right now at 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Glenn in Pleasanton. How you doing, Glenn?
Good. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing good. Appreciate it.
Good. I have a question. I've been watching. I haven't bought it yet. It's been very volatile. Is UNIT, UNIT. It's a REIT for communication, I guess, real estate.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The company UNIT is the stock ticker.
Okay, it is a $2.5 billion company, so you know it's not tiny. It's not quite mid-sized, but it's approaching that. A REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, it's going to make $2.38 this year. That's down from $2.62 last year, and then bounce up a little bit next year to $2.56. Because of that, it's the earnings being erratic. I think that's one of the reasons why the stock is having trouble. Or they must have had recent earnings that were disappointing, because it looks like it was lower than it was a year ago per share. It's a $14 stock, almost $14.66. and it's going to make $2.56. So you can see that's pretty cheap. That's pretty cheap on a PE basis. Okay. So you know, it's like a 6 PE or so, something like that. And the range is 6 to 64, so it's right at the bottom. Now, the stock price itself has been falling. And you really have to understand, why is that falling? Was it earnings? Was it sales? I think it looks like it might have been a disappointment earnings number, but the sales are still growing.
I've been doing some research on it, and it seems to be connected to WIN, W-I-N, uh-huh. is like 70% of its business or something like that, which uh-huh. is a concern. I'm wondering how you would weigh that out as far as, is it worth tiptoeing in, or when a business is so dependent on another company that might be having a hard time?
Okay, yeah, you got to be careful, because what happens is investors start evaluating the company, considering that WIN company or another division is no longer there. So how much is that left? If that division is having a lot of trouble, maybe the investors start to devaluate the whole company because of that bad sector. And if it's a major part of the company, that's why it would tell the story why it's falling. So what you want to do is how much is WIN? If they got rid of WIN, how much would this stock be worth then? You see,
and it would be not much, and that's how come it's getting really cheap. But I'm wondering if I didn't know if you knew anything about it or not.
I was just
curious if you thought it was worth being on a watch list, or a company that's so dependent on one other customer is something not to look at.
I would put it on a watch list, but then I watch that WIN, and if they look like they're going to recover, then you jump into this. You jump into
Okay.
So watch them. Put it on your watch list. Watch the big client. Is that what it is? Is a big client of theirs?
Yeah, they're the ones they lease all their equipment to, and I guess they're about 70% of their business.
Okay, then you watch that company and wait till that turns around before you jump into this company. Okay.
Okay. So it's worth staying on a watch list.
I think so.
By the fundamental. Okay.
So sometimes you can make a fortune on something like this. You can really make a killing because, it's not this company is the problem. They just have such a big client, it's causing them a problem.
Yeah.
You know, so
keep an eye on the client.
The client.
Okay.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Are stocks too risky for retirees? That's going to be our main talking point today. Also, sector rotation. Have you noticed the various sectors and what the sector rotations going on in this year? What has been the biggest winners? And who's kind of moving up now? Who's been moving up recently, the last few weeks? We're going to talk about that. Also, former Morgan Stanley chief and a Yale fellow, he's a chief economist. He was a chief economist at Morgan Stanley. Has some comments about the market. I want to share those. And what retirees worry about, or at least what they should worry about. The Dow is up 40, NASDAQ up 1, and S&P up 3 today. This is InvestTalk, everybody. I'm Steve Pizza. You can take advantage of our free retirement views no matter where you live in the United States. Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, and then Portfolio Review. You set up a time. Now, should retirees be in stocks? Is it too risky for them? And generally speaking, I will say, yes, they should be in stocks, but they should not be completely in stocks. And there is a rule of thumb, which I don't care for, by the way, just so you know. And that is the rule of thumb is you take 110 and subtract your age from it, okay? And that's the percentage your portfolio should be in stocks. Okay, so what happens is you get older, that means less stocks. I'm not a fan of that rule of thumb because it completely, I don't like things that completely ignore reality. I don't like those, here, this is a quick, simple answer because it tends to be right. but may not be right now because of the environment we're in. Now, right, and it's not a good answer because it doesn't take into consideration people, what they really want, what are they comfortable with. Stock market long-term is the best place to be for returns on your investment, not the bond market, especially with interest rates this low. It has been very good bond market over the years. And I'm not saying you don't have bonds. I like to rather see own individual bonds and hold on the maturity. I'm not keen on bond funds at this point. And I'm not keen on long-term bonds because the Fed is on the other side of the equation to raise rates. If they raise rates, it tends to make public rates, the rates you and I pay for things, go up. So far, it has not done that. It has not done that. It has not pushed rates up very much at all. So at some point it will if the Fed keeps doing it. And I think the Fed is going to keep doing it. I don't think we're going to see high rates anytime soon. But as that side of the equation is rates going up, remember bonds are an inverse value. So if they go up, the bond values go down. If interest rates go down, bond values go up. So it has that inverse. But if you buy the bonds and hold them maturity, you know it will go to par value. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, you need to go to investopedia.com and type in par value for a bond, and it'll explain what that is. There's no one answer for are stocks too risky for you. And plus, you realize there's a million different kinds of stocks. Would you say AT&T is as risky as a tiny little startup that just went public? No, it's much less risky than that tiny little startup. So what kind of stocks are you talking about, whether they're too risky for retirees or not? If you're holding on AT&T because of the dividend, what do you care about its price going up and down? You bought it for the dividend. It'll pay that dividend like clockwork for years and years and years, like it has. Decades. Should continue. There's no reason why it wouldn't. Or Verizon. Anyways. So no, you can't answer that, are stocks too risky for retirees, in a blanket statement. It just does not work. But I will say this, as you get older, you know, the normal person would have less exposure to the stock market. I think that makes sense. Okay, let's go to Christian in Chino Hills. How are you doing, Christian?
Hi, Steve. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. I appreciate everything that you guys do on the show. I listen to you guys all the time.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I have a question about a stock, actually. It's called Helios and Matheson Analytics. I purchased it a couple of days ago at $9.05. It dropped kind of harshly today, and then it rose back up to, I believe, almost like $10.85. So I'm kind of wondering what your thoughts are on this stock. Should I stay invested in it? Should I pull out now that it's at $10.85? Or what are your thoughts, please?
Well, you know, it's a very tiny company, right? You know that.
Right.
Okay. It is a 76, 77 million market cap company. Tiny, tiny, tiny. And it doesn't make any money. It's not going to make money. Matter of fact, it's going to lose it's going to lose money for foreseeable future. We don't know when it's going to make money. It provides application and information management software and IT consulting services to Fortune 1000 companies. So it's Helios and Matheson Analytics. And sales have been going down, which really distresses me. We're only talking about sales went down 40% the most recent quarter. I get out in a heartbeat. I get out in a heartbeat. I take the money, run. Okay?
All right. Thank you very much, dear. I appreciate that.
Appreciate the call. Remember, you know I don't like buying companies that don't make money, and this has never made money. So good luck with it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would definitely take the profits and run. Because it shot up from like, what is that, $3 or so to $10, and today it's $10.87. Yep. What? Yeah, that's not. Take it and run. Be happy. Don't be greedy. There's an old saying, the market has bears, bulls, and pigs get slaughtered. So don't be a pig. Take your profits and run. You can reach me right now as we move into part two of today's Invest Talk. My direct line between 4 and 5 Pacific Time, Monday through Friday, is 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, good reason number 5 for a portfolio checkup with Steve. Steve says that many portfolios he looks at are weighted in just one or two sectors. A diverse mix of market sectors is so important to the health of a retirement portfolio. Steve can help you reorganize your retirement portfolio. He can make suggestions about the sectors of the future. And if you'd like, a KPP financial program that fits your goals and your life situation. There's never a cost for InvestTalk listeners and no sales pitch or obligation of any kind ever. To schedule your one-on-one conversation with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review, or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. And now let's continue with the podcast. Now let's get back to InvestTalk, answers to life's money questions. Our direct line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is Mihir. I'm calling from Santa Clara. I just wanted your opinion on Arista Networks. It is a company located here in Bay Area. It's a tech company. Just wanted your opinion whether it's a good time to pick up some stocks from Arista Networks. Thank you.
No, I don't think so. And Arista Networks, Inc., Arista Networks provides cloud networking software hardware for internet, cloud, and next-generation centers. Why am I saying no? It's got a great growth rate of 30 to 50% in sales, going to earn 42% increase in earnings this year, 19% next year. Well, it's all about, this stock is making new 52-week highs. It's run up ever since November from like $82 to now $187. You're a little late to the party. You know, are you expecting to go up as the same amount? Probably won't. It's a great company. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not bad-mouthing the company. I'm bad-mouthing the price you're paying for shares of this company. $187, you're going to make $558. Okay, what is that, 35 PE? Okay, well, that seems to be a bit, it's a great company, return on equity is 25%, but I don't think that is a good price to pay. Now, if it came down, maybe if it came down after a nice pullback, and then I might be willing to overpay for it after the pullback, but I'm not gonna buy it as it making new 52-week highs on these kind of numbers. It may justify it, may keep going up, but I have to have growth plus value. I have to have some value here. I don't mind overpaying for my value if the growth is high enough. It's just too expensive for me. Management owns 28%, by the way. It's a good, solid company, and a pullback, might be something to really look at. Okay. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Sector rotation. Ever since Trump got elected, right after his election, what stocks work best? Remember before his election, I was bad-mouthing bank stocks, and then after he got elected, which was a surprise to everybody, I said, well, if him being elected, bank stocks look pretty good. And, of course, what's happened? Bank stocks ran up. Then big tech stocks kind of, overlapped and followed through the bank stock movement, and then consumer goods stocks. Now, if you look carefully around, take a look at the builder stocks. They've been running up in recent weeks. I'm talking about Toll Brothers, Beezer's, Horton, D.R. Horton, Pulte. Take a look at them all. They seem to be the leaders now. And this is sector rotation. One sector falls off, another picks it up. And it's very common that different sectors pick up from other sectors. It's not all sectors move up in conjunction when the whole market moves up. That's kind of on the rare side. So there are always going to be lagging sectors. There are also going to be leading sectors. And it's interesting, if you compare the economic cycle with the stock market cycle, sector cycle, there is a correlation. the longer the stock market cycle, the longer the economic cycle, the older the economic cycle is. Pretty soon, as it gets older and older and old, all of a sudden, the sector that works is those more defensive sectors like utilities that pay high dividends. They start to work better. It's interesting to look at this, but pay attention to your sector rotations. I think that they're kind of important. 888-99 chart. The market was up. I said the Dow was up 40. The Nasdaq was up 1, and the S&P up 3. It was down early in the day, but it kind of came back. Kind of. When you approach retirement, there are some complex decisions to make about your home. Do you sell it? Do you downsize? Do you fix it up? Now you have another source of answers for your real estate question. Just get a note to us. Get a note to our onboard licensed real estate consultant, Justin Klein. Go to our website, investtalk.com. Click on Contact Justin and ask him any real estate question you want. That's investtalk.com.
Steve sets aside time each month to talk with our listeners on a one-to-one basis, offering a second opinion about their retirement portfolio, offering some ideas and solutions. It can be done on Skype or telephone. If you'd like to reserve your hour with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review.
What do you think about PayPal? Thank you.
Okay, PayPal Holdings, as simple as PYPL, provides digital and mobile payments on behalf of consumers and merchants worldwide. Okay, PayPal. Most people are familiar with PayPal. I've noticed that I'm getting a lot of questions after these stocks have run up really strong, and PayPal is no different. It's run from $40 beginning of the year to now $64. Well, let's see what the valuation, the numbers look like. They're going to grow their earnings 22% this year to $1.83. The stock is $63.93. Next year, they're going to grow those same earnings to $2.20. Well, use that number. Sales growth is 17-18% per quarter. That's been pretty consistent. Okay, so it's going to make $2.20. Okay, the low end of the P/E ratio for the last 5 years is 22. So if you take $2.20 and multiply that times 22, you get a stock low of $48. It's at almost $64. So that's a low if you're using that P/E ratio, and it continues to do that as a low. If it goes back down there, the stock is at $48 using next year's earnings projection, which I think is a pretty reasonable number. The high PE is 39. And if you multiply that times $2.20, you get a high of 85. It's 63 right now. Okay, so it's kind of in the middle. Its stock has reached new 52-week highs, and I think it's worth more than it is right now. But right now, it's not a bargain. It's just average price. So you could take a shot at this. I would prefer that you wait for a pullback. But if you don't want to, it's not an unreasonable price for PayPal right now. Not an unreasonable. It's kind of expensive, but not unreasonably expensive. It's time for InvestTalk 101, a lesson in everyday investing. Okay, being a watchful investor includes observing trends in the economy, in industries, and in the market. But when can the trend lead you astray? It can take you off track, as you know. Chasing trends is a behavior many amateur traders as well as investors make. Unfortunately, it's a behavior that the smart money institutional managers profit from in a bullish or bearish market. They take advantage of those people. They take advantage. As a private retail investor, follow the trend. Institutional traders use this as a liquidity event to sell or buy without affecting stock prices. So to avoid this trap, know what you are buying. If you're confident that your company will be able to remain and improve profitability, then remain invested. Take a look at your companies. This will help you avoid selling and buying at the wrong time. That's InvestTalk 101, everybody. I'm sure you have questions. You can get through right now at 888-99-CHART.
A quick reminder, if there's a term that you hear mentioned on the program but you're unclear about what it means or you have a question about it, we want you to ask. It's very likely that you're not the only one with that same question. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Time to give me a call. Love to talk to you. Okay, the former economist, the head, the chief at Morgan Stanley, who's now a Yale fellow, had some interesting comments to make. He thinks the combination of lofty valuations, which, you know, I've been talking about all this hour so far, combination of lofty valuations, as people ask me different stocks, and rising interest rates will wreak havoc, that's his words, wreak havoc on markets. He says potentially before year end. That's what I thought that struck my interest the most. He's predicting by year end. He's saying, of course, he's hedging a little bit by saying potentially, but it's unusual for economists or anybody else to try, you know, that been around any length of time in the market to try to predict a time frame, because emotions do so much driving in the short term of stock prices, up or down. So he's predicting by year end. Now, he is a former chief economist. And just so you know, economists are often wrong. Experts are often wrong. Don't say, well, if he said it, it must be true. No. But, you know, you do want to listen to people that have been around a while, hear what they have to say, and try to get a good grouping of different opinions. You know, and you got to make your own opinion. Be independent. Decide what you think is going to happen, not what someone else tells us. But I thought this was interesting. The most interesting part was that he's predicting probably or most likely, or however he said, he used the word potentially, by year end. Before year end, he said. Before year end. Let's get back to our 24-hour listener line. Anytime questions you want to make, you can call 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Dave from Dublin. I have a question about company stock prices. Is a company motivated to increase their stock price? And if so, why? What motivates them to do that? And how do they go about increasing their stock price? Thank you. Bye.
The quick answer is yes, and there's a variety of reasons. Yeah, the company and its employees, its management are very much interested in increasing their stock price. Number one, many of the higher ups in the company are paid by stock options or given stocks at discounts, so they want the stock prices to go up. Matter of fact, there's an argument that they want it to go up too much. They artificially do things to make it go up. But more fundamentally, one of the reasons why it's good for a company to have a high stock price is that it makes it easy for it to finance itself. It can finance itself by, you know, a high stock price. They can buy other competitors using their stock. Here, my stock is $200 a share. I'll buy your stock, which is $10 a share. Here, I'll give you 100,000 of my shares for your company. You see, because it's a valuation, high value. Or maybe they want to borrow money. Okay, well, a high stock price, it makes them look stronger. They, for the bankers to say, oh, okay, it's a pretty strong company. Or maybe they just want to issue shares instead of borrowing money. They just issue shares at this high stock price. So, yeah, there's a lot of incentive to get the stock price up, higher the better. And there's an argument that there's too much incentive to do that. But the answer to your question is yes, they have a big incentive to move the stock price up. They do. Good question, though. Edgar, San Francisco. How you doing, Edgar?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is on MuleSoft, ticker number MULE.
Huh. Okay. I don't think I've ever heard of that company. Okay, that's interesting. It's a $2 billion company. MuleSoft Inc., M-U-L-E is the symbol, develops and markets an integration platform for connecting applications, data sources inside the cloud. So it's one of those cloud computing companies. Now, the problem you have, it's a pretty new company, IPO'd at $17 in what month was that? In March. So do you do know that almost all IPOs, six months after the IPO price, almost all the IPO companies are selling below their IPO price? Most people don't know that, but that's the truth. And this company, 6 months after March, is now September. It came out at $17. Today it's $20. So it's still above the IPO price. What's interesting, though, the first trade was in the mid-20s. You couldn't have bought it at the IPO price. You'd have to buy it in the mid-20s because that's what it really cost to buy it that first day. Mid-20s, and now it's $20.27. So it's gone down from its first trading day. Now, I wouldn't buy it because it's not going to make money. It's not going to make money this year. It's going to lose 39 cents a share this year, 38 cents a share next year. Sales are growing. They're selling, but they haven't been able to turn it into profits yet. Sales are growing about 50% or higher. So that's a good thing. But I wouldn't buy it because it's not making money. And I don't buy companies that don't make money. And I would not recommend that you do it either, Edgar. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That was Mule, M-U-L-E, MuleSoft. Let's go to Rick in Redwood City. How you doing, Rick?
Hey, Steve. Doing good.
Thank you for the call.
Hey, great show.
Thank you.
Hey, so I was waiting for the show. I figured somebody would ask you about this, but Roku, and I just heard your last statement about the IPOs.
Yeah.
That
one really skyrocketed.
I mainly want to know about the, you know, what your thoughts on the fundamentals of the company. I've used the product for quite a while now. I have an emotional interest in it, but.
Well, the sales growth is very strong, between 20 and 25% per quarter, but it's not going to make any money. So it operates the streaming entertainment devices for delivering entertainment to the television. I think it's way too young to know whether it's good to be in. I wouldn't buy it because it's too risky. Appreciate the call. If you have a question, give me a call. What retirees worry about, or at least what they should worry about. It was a survey, and this survey comes out almost every few years, the same survey. They asked 20,000 Americans 50 years old or older, okay, and wanted to know what they worried about. And number one worry was debt, okay? The problem that they have is they should be worrying about it because debt and the amount of debt is growing. For instance, in 1998, okay, we had 37% of, during the same survey, 37% of 56 to 61-year-olds had debt, 37%. Today it's 42. Back then, it was $3,634 per person. Today it's $17,623. Now I realize inflation is a part there, but that inflation wasn't that much. Was inflation 500%, 600%? No. 32% of the debt is in non-mortgage. So it's not necessarily because of higher prices for homes. That's not what's done it. What is the real problem is that it's in credit cards, student debt, car debt, loans on car, you name it, all the other kinds of debt is what is growing so very fast. And to make it even more scary, people don't have the liquidity to support anything that might go wrong. The average cash reserve for most people, we're talking over 50%, is $1,000. They don't have any money. and yet they have lots of debt. That's kind of scary, don't you think? I mean, these are, we're talking about retirees, the older people. We're not talking about young people who are taking a lot of debt and have lots of years to pay it off. We're talking about older people that don't have a lot of years and they don't have any money. They're going to have to keep working forever. And trust me, a year ago or so, there was a survey that said 60% of those people who do not want to retire have been forced to retire at retirement age. 65 or older. They don't want to retire, but they're forced by health, and the main reason was health reasons. Your questions come first and last. Let's take the last couple of minutes and answer a question. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Yes, Steve. I would like to ask my point for GDX, gold miner. Have you seen the top on gold? Can you give me the entry point? Wang calling from San Jose. Thank you.
Certainly. The 100 and 200-day moving average is right around $22, $23, $22.82. And the GDX, is the gold miners index, is selling for $23.16. So it's coming right to strong support right here. So this is a good buy point right now. The next one is at $21.25 or so. That's where there's a triple bottom if it goes down that far. And the final point is like $19. But if it starts to move up from this point, this is a great, very good buying point. The problem is you have overhead resistance at 26, 25, 50. You know, the gold index here, the GDX, have been trapped in a range for most of the year. One of these days it's going to break out up or break out down. I can't tell you which. I think my opinion is it's going to break up. But what do I know? We'll see. Your questions are always welcome, everybody. I do appreciate you asking. GDX was what we were just talking about. And, of course, that's the gold index. I like the index of the miners. GDX is the gold index for miner. GLD is the actual gold price. And that is actually 10% of the actual gold price. And just so you know, why it's not trading exactly what gold is trading at is because there's high costs involved and holding on to gold when they have to pay it. GLD. Time's up for the hour, everybody. A reminder, we have our own in-house licensed real estate consultant, Justin Klein. You can call him anytime you want with any questions regarding real estate. Of course, I do too. I mean, I'm not an eight license, but I've had real estate. I've built houses. I've owned rentals. I know quite a bit about it. Just go to investtalk.com and you can click on Contact Justin. You'll be happy to answer your question. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, thank you for being with us today. And join us again for InvestTalk tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.